This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with two pet lovers that are making waves in pet PR. I will tell you all about them and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors. Hi, I'm Isabel Alvarez-Arada, the host of Covered in Pet Hair. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you could give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With Spay and Neuter. Spaying and neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of Spay and Neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with two wonderful women who are pet lovers, rescue advocates, PR professionals. They are on top of it, boss ladies who really know the industry. They have a very soft spot in their heart for animals, cats specifically, and they are Mary Tan and Alexandre Ricard of Whisker Media, The Whisker Report, and Alexandre's rescue nonprofit, Saving Lives with Two A's. Welcome, ladies. It's so great to have you on the show.
Yay!
So exciting to be here. We love you, Isabel.
I love you guys too. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited to start the year with you because there's a lot that I want to talk about in like trends, and I couldn't think of two better people to do that with. You guys really have a pulse on everything pet specific to the industry. You go to all the pet trade shows and events. But before we dig in, I want to introduce our drinking game. So if you're new to Covered in Pet Hair, there is a drinking game here. This is a boozy show for pet lovers. So anytime you hear a word that starts with P,
the secret word is pets.
That word right there. Drink of whatever you're enjoying, but please do not overdrink, especially because lots of places are covered in snow right now. Please drink responsibly. Be over 21 in the U.S. to partake. Never drink and drive. Please, please, please be careful. So are you guys having any kind of libation with us today? Because I sure am. What are you having, Alex? Alex and I have shared many a libation at industry events. So tell me, what are you having?
I'm having a little gin and tonic.
Love a gin and tonic. How about you, Mary? I see that you're keeping it warm somewhere.
Yes, I am actually drinking some tea with just a little bit of brandy. You know, like tea and, you know, different kind of libations in it.
I love that. I love that so much. I thought about having a hot toddy because it is snowing in El Paso today, but I've been craving a Manhattan for a long time, like all Christmas long. I just wanted a Manhattan. So this is a Manhattan with extra cherry juice. Cheers, ladies. It's so good to have you on the show. I cannot wait to dig in because I am such a fan of you. I love that we have a similar, I guess, background. Mary, in media, you were very much a journalist for a very long time. And Alex, I just realized I lived in a town after college right by your hometown. I lived in Montargis.
Yeah, which is quite close. Yeah.
That is so crazy. I had heard you say that you lived in Troy, and I was like, I don't know that I know that place. And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's right there.
How funny.
But you were like a child when that happened, when I was right after college. So I don't think we would have been able to share a libation back then. So I'm happy we know each other now.
Well, actually, there's no drinking age in France.
Drinking age of two.
That's true. And I am wearing my Bonjour sweatshirt just for you, Alexandre.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
I love you so much. I've had such a fun time getting to know you guys over anytime we've run into each other at these industry events. I just saw you at Blog Pause in Boulder in November. So, I mean, we have crossed paths in many places. You really are doing such a good job of bringing together a lot of things that other industries do and bringing them into the pet industry. I feel like the pet industry gets forgotten a lot. It's so cute and it's so sweet, but it's multi-billion dollar industry and people kind of forget about it. So I want to start, because you guys have a pulse on everything that's cool and great in the industry, I want to play a game with you called Hot or Not.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I found a list on LinkedIn, actually. Some of these I added, but I found a list about the things that the industry expects to trend in 2025. So if you think that this is hot, then you say hot. And if you don't, you say not. Are you guys ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's do this. So customized nutrition plans, hot or not?
Hot.
Yeah.
Hot. All right. Sustainable and eco-friendly products.
Hot.
Hot. Very hot.
Do Alex and I compete against each other to say who can say hot or not first?
And we'll see if you guys disagree on any.
That'll be interesting.
Okay.
Pet insurance, hot or not?
Hot.
Always hot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I would have said not hot, but
yeah. Really? Okay, that's interesting. We're going to put a pin in that because I want to come back to that. E-commerce for pet products instead of shopping in person, hot or not?
Hot.
Hot.
Oh,
warm.
She's like, warm. Okay.
It depends on the generation.
Yeah, exactly right. I agree with you. Pet tech, apps and products that are tech-based for pets.
Hot.
Not.
Have you ever seen a generational difference here? For sure. That's interesting, Mary. I would have said hot only because I don't use them, but I see them a lot. So we're going to put a pin in that one too. Outerwear for pets, hot or not?
Hot.
Hot.
Yeah.
Hot. Yes. Like, I'm coming around to it too. Like, before I was like, why do pets need all these things? But now I'm coming around to it.
Yeah.
Fresh foods for pets. Hot or not?
Hot. Hot.
Super hot.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Okay. Enrichment. Just the word enrichment.
Hot.
Hot.
Okay. Species-specific feeders. Bye-bye, regular old bowl. Let's talk species-specific feeders.
Yeah. Hot.
Hot. Subscription boxes for pets.
Top.
Okay. And specialty grooming products for pets, like fancy shampoos and paw balms and things like that.
Not hot.
Interesting. I am surprised by that. Really, really surprised by that. I am. Okay. So next thing I wanted to talk to you about was your background, but I kind of want to talk about pet insurance and why Alexandre does not think it's hot.
Okay, so I come from Europe. We don't really have pet insurance. It's just new there. And I just moved to Canada where people have pet insurance, right? So I've been looking at getting one for my own rescue cat, Tzatziki. And when I look into it, people are like, insurance are actually a scam. They always found a loophole for you, like, for not to pay for your vet's appointments. So what I've seen people doing now is kind of create a trust fund for their pet. And that's kind of what I've been doing with Tzatziki. And so I can have my own insurance for her. So she has a trust fund. It's not high, right? But every month I do put a little bit of money in it. And so if I need to go to the vets, I use that instead of an insurance because I feel like they won't pay the full amount anyway. So for me, I won't subscribe to an insurance.
All right. I hear that. I have my cat on insurance. My dogs are not because they're old. And then that way that when they're older, it definitely gets really expensive. And I'm a less is more type of like medical intervention kind of person. If they get really sick at a certain age, I'm just going to do more palliative care. So I do understand that it's definitely person specific, but I do think that more insurance companies are getting into the pet insurance game.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe like State Farm Insurance, which I think does my home and my car insurance, they now went into pet, but it's only in certain states. But I'm going to tell you my story with pet insurance. Josie, who passed away in March, she was on pet insurance from the age of 2 to probably 10, because at the age of 10, she, oh my gosh, the amount they wanted me to pay blew up like $500. But every time I tried, she needed ACL surgery, which is like whatever, $1,700. They refused to pay every single time I submitted something. They refused to pay. And they always likened it back like, oh, she had some existing condition because, you know, 5 years ago, you brought her in for limping and they look at all of your vet records. So I got really angry. And so as a person who also doesn't like to be in debt for any reason, my recommendation and what I do is I took that money I would have paid for pet insurance and I put it in a savings account. And that's honestly the best way to do it. Also, I want to clarify one thing. Like a lot of Banfield pet hospitals that are national, they have a wellness plan. A wellness plan is not the same as insurance. A wellness plan is like for preventative and checkups. Yes. And so people should remember that too. You know, if your dog gets in a car accident, the Banfield plans, the wellness plans will reduce the costs, but you're still going to have to bear the brunt of it because it really only covers wellness. And I think a lot of people get that confused because they think it's pet insurance.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for adding that. That's so true. Well, Mary, you were a field reporter, if I'm not mistaken, for many, many years, and you somehow found your way into pet-specific media, pet-specific PR, founding Whisker Media. So when did that happen and what was the kind of path that led you there?
So right after college, I went to school for broadcast journalism, always wanted to be a reporter or a network correspondent. So I went that route, you know, and you start in a small market, then you move up. So I started in Duluth, Minnesota. And then I went to Madison, Wisconsin, went to Las Vegas. I went to Atlanta. Ooh. I was in New York City briefly. When I was in Atlanta, I did a lot of reporting for Fox News and CNN as a contributing reporter as well, whenever, you know, we were on the big stories. So I did that for many, many years. And I was primarily a crime reporter and did more investigative things in some markets as well. And what happened was I just got sick of it. And, you know, the hours are terrible. I had to work early morning hours. You know, there were 12, 14 hour days. And when there's a big story, like right now, the fires in LA, I can only imagine those reporters are now going to work probably for the next 3 to 4 days straight. You'll maybe sleep 2 or 3 hours, but it's a really difficult, it's actually a difficult life in some ways. So I did that for many, many years. But I've always loved cats and always loved animals. And I used to get in arguments with some of my bosses and my editors, like, I really want to cover a pet story. And they're like, no, you're the murder and mayhem person. You go and cover the mayhem of the world. And I did that, but always secretly, in my off time, in the very little off time I had, I would try to volunteer at rescues and shelters. And so eventually I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm just sick of it. You know, once you cover a murder and you start getting really like, you know, oh, it's just another dead body.
Yes.
Terrible. And like, I hate to say this, but I was getting grizzled and it was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I would knock on the door of somebody who just lost their, you know, loved one. And I say, hi, I'm with, you know, Channel 6. And I really am so sorry to hear what happened. But could I do an interview with you? Could I get a picture of, you know, your son or daughter who just died?
God.
And that's what news is like because it's so competitive. So ended up going into PR, but the natural transition was to kind of continue the crime and slime. So I ended up doing PR for the city of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, where I did also public information work for the police and fire departments. And I also, you know, did general media relations. And while I was in government, I was like, and it was just the opposite. So I would go to fires and stuff, but instead of like, you know, getting an interview, I was telling the information to the reporters. It was a kind of a natural, easy transition. And then I was like, I started putting cats into into the city budget materials. I was like including animals whenever I could. And luckily, you know, we did have like the city impound. It was called Pups. It was Pets Under Police Security. And I just started including animals in the city newsletter and in city emails and stuff. And it was partly because I was a little bored with what I was doing. And so eventually the PR job, and that's actually when I started Whisker Media. It started out as a video production firm.
Ooh.
And what happened was, as I got more and more into PR, I realized I really like PR better than creating videos. And I was getting a lot of business because of other government agencies. I was doing a lot of government videos. And so basically, that's how Whisker Media started. Then the only full-time PR job in the Upper Midwest came open, which was here, the Animal Humane Society. It was the only like livable wage full-time PR job where I could actually make a living. So I was like, I have to take this. And so I did that. And what happened was, you know, there were some pet product companies that would want to work with the shelter. I started talking to them and they would bring products that would like not work in a shelter setting, right? The shelter is full of zoonotic diseases. You can't, here's a tip if you're a pet product manufacturer, like you cannot give like squeaky toys that are soft because they have to be machine washable and be able to be bleached. And so those toys would disintegrate. Or we had one of my litter box client, former litter box clients, came in with this litter box, but it was the size so that she could fit it in an Amazon box, right? Because shipping is such a big thing. Well, I took her to the shelter and I'm like, look at these cats. American cats are fat. It will never fit in your litter box. It's for kittens is what it is. And so she took that to heart. And then pretty soon she created bigger litter boxes and it was really awesome. It's now, you know, doing really well. It's all over PetSmart and Petco and different things like that. And so it was at that point when my business completely, I totally switched to pet PR.
Nice.
And I just couldn't keep up. There were a whole bunch of different factors. There was another PR agency that was closing and they asked me to take over their clients. And then I was getting, I don't know how people were finding me, but they were. And it got to be where I was doing two full-time jobs for about 3 years and I couldn't handle it. You just can't do that. And I wasn't sleeping or anything. And so that's the story of Whisker Media. And then I met Alex.
Well, it's so funny because I already knew I loved Alex when I met her because she just has a great energy. But then she told me of how she ended up on your team. And I have nothing but respect for Alex for knowing what she wanted and making it happen. So you know the story that she tells. Did you feel like she was following you around the whole weekend?
So it was a very stressful trip. And I was caught up trying to do all the different things with that while we were in Greece. And Ellie, the gal I had brought to help, was like, Mary, there's this great gal named Alex. You got to talk to her. And I'm like, that's great, but I don't have time. I'm like, can you just talk to her and tell her about Whisker Media? And she's like, you've got to hire this girl. And I was like, okay. And then finally, the last day, I was like, okay, because I think Alex, you had invited us to lunch.
Well, I kept inviting you everywhere. I was like, I'll drive you. You want to go to the beach? I'll drive you. You want to go home earlier? I'll drive you. I was driving Mary anywhere. I was like, whatever you want, I'll do it. And then on the last day, I was like, we should go for lunch or dinner. And then she finally said yes. And I was like, okay, that's my cue. So we're at the restaurant. I was like, you know, Mary, I could work for you. And she was looking at me like, oh, sure. Like, who are you?
And this is exactly what happened. So I've gotten quite a few people that, because you know, it's pet. So a lot of people want to do pet. But one of my sticklers is the ability to write. And so until I saw Alex's work, it was just like, okay, you know, I was like, okay, this is great. I mean, I liked you, but I didn't know your work yet. So while I was flying home, you'd sent me everything. So by the time I arrived home, it was already in my inbox. And I think I took a few days and then I read, you gave me writing samples. Let me tell you that Alex is a much better writer than a lot of kids that I hire from the local colleges here. They can't write. Even some of the professionals, like they'll send me their writing samples and there's tons of grammatical mistakes. And I couldn't find one thing wrong with Alex's. And what I was really, really looking for, and I think in general, whether you're going for a journalism job or a PR job, it's being a great storyteller. You know, and Alex has those skills. And to this day, I rarely have to change her press releases. You know, I hired other people who they maybe were in the business for 5-6 years, and I would have to constantly rewrite their stuff. They would bury the lead. And Alex is just an exceptional writer. And then when she told me she could speak multiple languages,
that was it.
And Isabel, Alex is still a baby.
I know that. Yes. And I'm so impressed because English is my second language, but I moved when I was 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When did you start learning English, Alex? And I'm assuming you learned it in school like everybody else in France? Because that's how I ended up in France, was as a teacher, an English teacher.
But you saw the level. We don't learn English well. Most French people do not speak English. It's really hard for us because, we're not great at teaching languages in France.
So I became an exchange student. I went to Pittsburgh when I was 16 for a year. And that's what I was telling Mary, because Mary was asking me the other day. She's like, how do you speak English so well? And I was like, I was quiet for the first 3 months in the US. I didn't say a word because I couldn't understand and I couldn't speak. So for 3 months, I was just quiet, just listening. And it was terrible. It was so stressful. It was really hard. But then after 3 months, I started speaking. And then,
But you speak and you write, which is really, truly remarkable, because one thing is speaking. Another thing is not only writing, but like excelling in your product, in your writing.
Yeah, I think I was just very lucky that I was during my senior year there and I had amazing like English teachers. I also took journalism. So I did a little bit of journalism there, and I had, you know, I had to pass the SATs and all of that. So I did it all, and I actually got good scores in English, math not so well, but. Yeah, so I was really putting myself into the, I love English. I just love the language in itself. I love reading. I love, writing.
Tell Isabel about the app. And this would help all the listeners and viewers too.
Oh, maybe Isabel knows it actually. Do you know the app Language Transfer?
I don't think so.
So everybody talks about Duolingo all the time, right? I do not love Duolingo. I've tried for years to learn languages. Never works. But Language Transfer is one of the best apps, and it's free to learn languages. And so I've sent it to Mary so she can finally learn French and speak French to me.
Well, I'm practicing my French on Duolingo, and I keep getting messages being like, are you done with your French exams and with your French lessons? I'm like, Duolingo, leave me alone. I'm busy, okay? Stop shitting me.
No, you should try Language Transfer. It's really, really great. I do like it.
Yeah, and it's free. So I downloaded it. I started lesson one and leve leche. Is that right? I want cake.
You sure it's French?
Wait, leche, it's, I'm confused. Spoke in Spanish.
Yeah, but I thought noche. No, wait, café au lait.
Olé.
Olé.
Uri.
Okay, I didn't learn very well.
Listen, Rome was not built in a day, okay? It's a process. It's a total process. And well, now you all have a podcast called The Whisker Report. So she went from exchange student to podcaster. And Mary, you went from field reporter to podcaster. And I listen to your podcast every time it comes out. I think it's invaluable. I think what you're sharing is fantastic. I work with a lot of pet businesses. I do copywriting and blogging and social media management for pet sitting, dog walking, dog training businesses. And I'm constantly like, they need to listen to this. They need to listen to this. They need to listen to this. Because people think that PR is only for the big guys. But you also bring it in for rescue, which I just listened to your interview with your subordinate at the, you had like one of your employees. I just listened to that episode where you were talking about how, you know, the challenges that she ran into as a PR specialist working for Humane Society of the United States, I think it is, right?
No, this was it's called Animal Humane Society. It's here in Minnesota. It's not such a generic name that they confuse it with Humane Society of the United States. But
okay. But yeah, it was really eye-opening. I thought it was great. I think it's great that you not only work with, you know, products, but also services and also nonprofits. So what inspired you to start The Whisker Report?
You know, it's our way to give back to the pet industry. So everybody said to me initially, why are you doing that? Why are you giving away your secrets? Well, we're not really giving away any secrets. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But the key is most pet businesses, for example, they don't have time to do all the networking involved, knowing who to send it to. That takes time. Got to get out there and meet people. And I even do it virtually. So I'll reach out to a random reporter, you know, the New York Times and say, hey, do you think I could have a Zoom meeting with you to just ask you, you know, what are you looking for in news coverage? Everybody can do that.
Yes.
But the problem is that it's a time situation. But there are some organizations that will never have the budgets to be able to hire us. And especially in the rescue world, or even in the startup pet world, you know, where it's just a single person trying to do their best. You know, we want to do our best to support these people and give back. And, you know, maybe because in the long run, it is going to benefit us, because if they get their product going, if they get their rescue shelter going, they're going to continue. And they're eventually, if they can, they're going to hire us.
Yeah.
You know, or they're going to recommend us to other people. And so, but it's really more philanthropic, because Whisker Media's mission, and this is also why Alex was the perfect hire, is to give back. We believe, you know, we want to support people who are helping animals, whether you are adopting them out, whether you are rescuing them, whether you are making a product to make their life better. That is the goal of Whisker Media. And, you know, giving back is everybody that's probably the number one thing besides the ability to write, is having the right mindset, you know, that giving back is really important. And that's really like, you know, I would love to support every single rescue and shelter. We do have an affinity towards cats, but we love dogs too.
Of course. Yes.
And it's important to give back. You just feel better about yourself. And that's the whole reason I started Whisker Media.
Yeah.
And for the podcast as well, you forget one big thing, Mary, is that everybody has been asking Mary, why don't you have a podcast? You have a big personality. You talk so much. Why don't you have your own podcast?
I have a very big mouth. Yes.
Yeah, you too. Were you the child who always got in trouble for talking in class?
Yes, of course.
And now I don't think it's a bad thing. When my kids get in trouble for talking in class, I'm like, they're leaders and they're confident. And that is a good thing. I will teach them when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate. But let's not extinguish this spirit, because we want that spirit. It helps down the line. Well, I love that so much. I really do think it's so valuable. Again, if anybody's listening and you are a pet business owner, a pet rescuer, you do any kind of work within the pet industry, it's the Whisker Report on Pet Life Radio. We're obviously in the same family of Pet Life Radio, and I just think it's so great. Your guests are fantastic. You know, that's really one of the things that I can say is, because of your background, Mary, you have access to some really great guests, right?
You know, we're really trying hard to make sure that you learn something, and we are working. I mean, we're just starting out, but I really want to get guests who can teach as well as be exciting as well.
Yes, Lindsay, right.
But when we invite rescues and stuff, a lot of times we reverse it where they can ask us questions. Because you can learn a lot from that too, so.
Oh, that's so cool. I haven't heard any of those yet, but you've had some really amazing guests, and I am one of the amazing guests. So I'm going to plug myself there. But I do learn something every time I listen, and I do media too. I work for magazines and I write for newspapers and stuff, and I just, you know, I didn't go to school for this, so I didn't have a mentor to teach me these things. I've learned them going, like doing. But your show definitely gives me like an insider's view on what it is that I would have learned had I studied, you know, broadcast journalism or writing or something like that. But now we're going to learn a little more, because my next game for you is Pet PR Shakedown. And I just want to get an insider's kind of like look at how PR for the pet industry is unique and different from maybe other industries. Are you all ready to play?
Yeah, we are.
Let's do this. Okay, this is about PR, so get your minds out of the gutter. What turns pet parents on?
Emotional stories.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yep.
What turns pet parents off?
Abuse, the animal cruelty pictures. That doesn't work.
No, never.
So Sarah McLachlan, no?
That is the most hated commercial. We've noticed they've changed it. Now, to the ASPCA's credit, they raised millions off of it. And their new one is also equally sad.
It's the guy from Will and Grace.
Yes. Exactly.
I can't remember his name. I love him, but it's him. And I like immediately look because I love that show. And then I'm like, no, oh, I'm getting sick.
When you go to the animal welfare conferences, animal welfare people hate that commercial with a passion. But in general, I don't know, you know, their reasoning behind it. I know they use I'm sure they use a really big PR agency, but some research has shown it doesn't work. It turns people off. They're going to turn the channel.
You have to have some sort of hope when you're showing something emotional.
Yeah.
When we say what turns on pet parents, it's emotional, but at the end, it needs to have hope. You can't just give to a cause that's hopeless.
Yes.
And I feel like that
was true.
The story is too sad. You're like, well, whatever I do, it's not going to help. So why would I help?
It's way too far gone. Exactly.
The most successful is the before and after. That really, when you are fundraising for animal welfare, that is what you want to. Here's another tip, Isabel. This is one people don't know. The more dogs you have, the wealthier you tend to be. The more cats you have, the less resourced you tend to be. The marketing studies have shown when you show a picture of a dog, if you're a rescue or shelter, people are going to donate, whether they're dog or cat people. But when a cat is shown, the dog people oftentimes will not donate.
Dog people, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with me.
Terrible. But there's research behind that. Mm-hmm.
I believe that. We've talked about a lot in this show, and actually Nathan, the cat lady, and I think it was Aaron from Wildcat. We all talked about how cat people love all animals, but dog people can be very dog specific. If you're really targeting dog people, you want to focus on the dogs. And if you're targeting, you know, pet people, then you can. Cat people will respond to all of it. They love all animals, even chickens and horses and who knows what else. What is the worst thing that can happen to a pet brand as far as PR?
I would say the death of an animal caused by the product.
How common is that?
Not common, but it happens. I am working on a situation right now where there's an unfortunate situation where a boarding facility, one of the employees who is a little mentally off, murdered a dog on her shift. Mm-hmm. And so that is not the fault of the business owner. And so we're you know, trying to protect the reputation of the business right now. And that can kill a business.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. People are very intolerant. Like way before cancel culture, this was reality for the pet industry. Like one thing will destroy. And then, but at the same time, you see other huge businesses that maybe can afford the PR and something happens and it's almost like it never happens. Like the public doesn't remember it. Is that because of the PR efforts? You think?
It could be. But don't forget the news cycle is very short. That is when you absolutely need a PR firm to step in because you want to be on the offensive, not the defensive.
Yes, absolutely. And on the other side of the coin, what is the best thing that can happen to a pet brand?
Well, digitally, I'd say to be genuinely endorsed by a celebrity without asking. Mm. Like if a celebrity likes your product and like, you know, you might be a smaller brand. I think it happened with Yahoo catnip toy. Which celebrity was it that they posted about their banana toy? Like out of nowhere, they were just posting.
Yeah, it was somebody famous. Somebody really famous.
Yeah, like a huge movie director.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's a big deal. That's the dream right there.
But even, I mean, that really, you know, I feel like if Taylor Swift posted something.
That's the dream for a cat.
But
it has to be
authentic, right? It can't be a celebrity that says, like, you know, paid advertisement or something,
yes.
Paid collab. If it's really genuine, it's because your product is so good that they're willing to talk about it for free.
And they know exactly what's going to happen when they post.
Yes.
So hopefully your website can handle Taylor Swift. The Swifties coming to buy your product. Yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah, have you seen like whenever she wears a skirt, the skirt is gone in like half a second on the website.
Exactly.
That's the power of them. So if they do that for pet products?
That's the dream. And we know a lot of celebrities are very big into the pets and their pets and getting involved. I mean, you know, more and more we're seeing pet products being designed by celebrities, right? Like the girl from
The Big Bang Theory, I always forget her name. I love her. She has her own line of pet products now. And Katherine Heigl was at Super Zoo promoting her products last year. So yeah, they're getting more into it. But this would be like...
You know who I just saw is Paris Hilton teamed up with Reruva.
Oh.
Selling cat food. I think she has a cat, but I don't think she's a cat person. Like... I'm sure it's the same food. It just has the label.
Paris Hilton is a queen. I mean, when it comes to PR marketing, she's in Walmart stores. She has her own line at Walmart. You know, like, what is more like of a juxtaposition than Paris Hilton, heiress to the Hilton fortune and Walmart? But there she is, and she's on her stories sharing her cutest little, you know, butter dish that she made for Walmart. You know, go Paris, get that bag. I will never judge her for it. Especially, she actually lost her house in Malibu to the fires. So my heart goes out to so many of these celebrities that we think just, you know, they like, you know, it rains millions of dollars for them, but they also, you know, they also have their challenges. So my heart goes out to everybody in the Pacific Palisades who's lost everything, including the Queen Paris Hilton. Okay, so how competitive is the pet industry? Like, you've worked in like it bleeds, it leads kind of culture, right?
Yeah.
So you've seen the most cutthroat stuff. How competitive is the pet industry comparatively?
So among PR agencies, it's competitive, but it's not as competitive between all of the agencies that solely focus on pets. We all know each other. We're pretty friendly with each other. We work together. So I don't know. Did you know Dana Humphrey?
Of course.
She and I met, I think, at Global Pet several years ago. We just hit it off. She was so sweet. She was so nice. We just kept talking. And then she told me she just wants to get out of the business. And then we looked into developing a partnership, but we ended up, you know, it was probably better to remain separate. And then she ended up referring all her business to me, which really took Whisker Media off. And then around the same time, another pet agency who used to do the PR for either Global or Super Zoo, they folded, or they decided to no longer operate because they lost a really big client. And
the owner
said, let's just end this. And I ended up getting their clients as well. And I was already getting kind of my own clients. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh my God, I can't.
Oh, what is it? The blessings that you can't keep up with so many things?
Yeah, we've been really, really lucky. I ask Alex all the time, how are we getting these people? We get a lot of inquiries just on our website. And yeah, I'll ask people and they're like, well, we just Googled, you know. Apparently, that's how we're finding us. We could do a better job marketing ourselves.
Wow. Well, I'm a copywriter and SEO specialist. I can help you, but it sounds like you don't need my help. It sounds like if you're coming up on the top of Google, you're doing something right.
I am not a digital person. That's Alex's realm. I don't know how. I have no idea, actually.
You're doing something right, Alex. Alex has all...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alex.
Give me the compliments, Mary.
All day. I have nothing but respect for y'all. You are so great. I love to see you guys whenever I run into you because I do think that you're bringing such a great vibe to the industry. You know, it is a male-dominated industry, just like most of them are. So when I see women standing out in our industry, being vocal, bringing change, you know, making things happen, I just always am in awe and I always want to celebrate it. So what kind of services do you all offer for the pet brands who might be watching or pet services that might be, you know, bigger and ready to take it to the next level?
Alex, you do this.
Okay. Well, digitally, we do offer influencer marketing. I'm in charge of that part of the Whisker Media, so I love to talk about that. But then, of course, we do PR, so public relations, and that goes from if you go to a trade show like Super Zoo or Global, we help you. We help get the media to your booth. We send out press releases, and yeah, we make sure that your voice will be heard among all of these other booths when there's thousands of other ones.
Yeah.
Mary is a specialist in crisis communication, right, Mary?
I hope I never need you, Mary.
Never, not something you want to need us for.
You have to hope that you don't ever want to hire me for crisis. Crisis communications, though, is extremely important. Your reputation can tank Crisis communications is where I tell businesses, if you're in a situation, in a terrible situation, you really do need to get help. That is something that is very difficult to maneuver yourself. The other thing we also do is thought leadership, where we position either, you know, the head of a rescue or shelter or the head of the founder of a pet product company. We want them to shine and share their expertise. So a lot of what we do is media relations and community relations.
Amazing. Yeah. No. And so what, for somebody who is a small business and wants to position themselves in their local area, they may not have the budget for you, but what recommendations would you give them? Obviously, they're their own influencer. They're not going to hire an influencer. They are the influencer. But how do they get into the media?
So if you ever watch the morning shows in every community across the country, those morning shows are like from 4 a.m. to noon. Yep. 8 hours of content. And almost every single market has a pet section. The media loves pet stories. Studies have shown, in fact, I've been told by the local Fox affiliate here, their ratings goes up by 20% when a picture of an animal is shown. And so when you watch a lot of media, you'll see the coming up, we're going to tell you about the dog who was reunited with his family 10 years later. That, and it's constantly teased. It's because that will hold people through a newscast. And so anybody can pitch. What you want to do is Google the TV station, try to find out who, for example, the producers are of the newscast, or just, you know, to make it super easy, just email the news department, make a short pitch and an email. It doesn't necessarily have to be a press release, and say, hey, I have a store and here's my story. And would you be interested in covering it? And what you want to do is like, for example, on National Cat Day, you could say, hey, can I show you some of the cool products I have for cat parents?
Yes, I love that.
They need that. I mean, you know, they may not cover it, but they at least, if they don't cover it, the news media then knows that you exist. And so, you know, maybe there is a big story involving a colony of cats that's overtaking an apartment complex. They may call you, the reporter may call you and say, hey, do you have any resources to help? You know, can you talk about pet overpopulation? Rescues and shelters have nonstop stories. And almost every station has adoptable pets that come on.
Yeah.
When you do those adoptable pet segments, I would look at it as not only a way to adopt that animal, but a way you must brag about your organization. Because nobody is going to promote you better than yourself.
True. That's true. It's absolutely true. And we're embarrassed sometimes to do it, but like only we can tell our own story. Okay. So you all are experts in this industry. What trends are you seeing as standouts for 2025, whether it be in PR for products or just like reaching pet parents or influencer, like the usage of influencers? What's happening? What's kind of like the buzz?
Authenticity.
One word. I love her one word answers. Love it. Authenticity. Yes. Yes.
I mean, I see it for the digital world. That's what people want. We don't want any more paid collab or like, you know, those big influencers that get paid every day to promote product every day. No way. That's not true. That's not genuine. We want authenticity from people now. And it's the same for press releases because of the ChatGPT and all of those. Like press releases, we've heard from journalists, they will catch that it's been written by ChatGPT and they won't even look at it because they're like, no, that's not genuine. It's just, you know, there's no emotions in it.
Yes. If it says furry companions, I know ChatGPT wrote it. Okay. Your furry companions is ChatGPT all day long. Okay.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's pretty easy. I mean, that is a trend in PR that does not bode well for us, but ChatGPT press releases are really easy to spot.
Well, I can read a blog or a website copy and I could be like, that was definitely AI.
Yeah.
Because it's so generic. It doesn't tell anybody's story. There's nothing. There's no voice. It's the same voice. It's ChatGPT's voice. And I can pick up on that. And I feel like anybody who's really kind of discerning, and when we love our pets as much as we do, that's not going to win us over.
Right. And here's the thing, Isabel, is you can write a press release, but you need the context to send it to. So I have found some people are writing their press releases and saying, just send it out for us. And I'm like, well, this is poorly written and my name is coming on top of it. Right, Alex?
Like, no way.
But we don't really want to do that. And that I think we're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that the cream always rises to the top. Right. And I think when everybody's using the same AI system, you're just going to be in the same place as everybody. And those people who do show who they are, share their story, they are authentic, they're going to rise to the top. So speaking of sharing their story, Alexanne, I want to finish up because I could stay here and talk to you all night, but I'm going to let you go at some point. Well, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to dig in more into all of the PR do's and don'ts that you recommend for pet businesses and how Alexanne took her passion for pets and PR and made them one. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Hi, I'm Isabel Alvarez-Arada. I'm the host of Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. We all have those moments where our dog has done something kind of frustrating, or we just love them so much and we wish we could talk to them and tell them how much we adore them. Well, recently, I found out that we can. I learned about a company called Regal AI that builds AI agents for brands, and they have built an AI dog hotline that is crazy fun. When I heard about it, I initially thought it might be robotic or slow to respond or cheesy. But they have the 15 most common breeds in the US on their site with a phone number. And I was legit able to have a full conversation that felt like talking to the perfect French bulldog, if he or she could speak, of course. If you're interested in trying the dog hotline, go to regal.ai/dog. Scroll down and pick your dog's breed or use the fetcher at the top and prepare to be amazed. I have no idea how they knew what Pierre's personality was, but it was spot on. So fun. If you want to talk to Pierre, just try it out. Call 608-384-0974. We're going to call now just so you can hear it for yourself.
Bonjour. I'm your French bulldog. I'm so excited to be speaking human. I can't believe it. I took a nap and then woke up and now all of a sudden I'm speaking to you. It's so crazy. It must be crazy for you too. Anyway, can you tell me what my name is? The name that you call me.
Your name is Pierre.
Ah, that's right. I love the name Pierre and how it sounds when you say it. Speaking of sound, what have you always wanted to tell me now that we can chat?
I love your sweet little face.
Oh, how sweet of you to say. I love when you scratch my ears and give me cuddles. Speaking of love, have you ever wondered why I make those funny snorts when I'm excited?
Of course.
Really? That's so intriguing. It's like my own little symphony of joy. Do you know if there are gourmet snacks that match my artistic vibe? I shall create a masterpiece of flavors.
Of course there are.
Oh, how delightful. Did I see you holding a snack earlier? I'm just wondering if it's something I can taste test for you. That would be such a gourmet collaboration.
Yes, let's have chocolate croissants.
Oh, chocolate croissants. They sound absolutely divine. But are they okay for me to munch on too? If not, can we share something scrumptious that's dog-friendly? Life is best enjoyed with a cozy spot, gourmet snack, and someone to scratch behind the ears. Wouldn't you agree?
You're right, Pierre. Chocolate is not safe for dogs. Let's do French fries instead.
Oh, French fries. That sounds heavenly. Especially if they have that crispy edge. Can we have some warm cuddles and enjoy them together? I'm dreaming of the crunch right now.
Of course. Do you want mayonnaise or no mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise? That's a curious choice. I've never tried it. Is it savory like your belly rubbed or just something to dip my paw in? Either way, I think snacking together will be a masterpiece.
We'll dip the French fries in the mayonnaise. You're gonna love it.
Oh, I can hardly wait. That sounds like a delicious experience. Oh, I've been talking too much again. Time to dream of croissants and sunny naps. Call me back anytime and ask me any questions you want. Can't wait to chat again soon. Au revoir.
Au revoir, Pierre. I'm actually pretty impressed. I'm impressed he told me that chocolate's not safe. After I said it, I was like, oh no, I probably need to say something different. But he corrected me, which is perfect.
As you can imagine, Regal AI builds AI agents for all kinds of businesses. If you want to learn more about what Regal AI can do for you or a friend's business, check them out at regal.ai. You can also try out any of the 15 dog breed hotlines yourself for free at regal.ai/dog. Regal has done hundreds of millions of calls where the AI has wowed customers. And today's experience with Pierre was no exception.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and I want to hear about Saving Lives, your nonprofit, 2A's, and I want to just kind of tell me how it came to be and where it is right now.
Yeah. Okay. So back in 2020, during COVID, you were not allowed to travel. And so I was just finishing an internship in Bali, working with dogs at a big shelter, which was absolutely amazing. I was there for like 6-7 months, helping them with fundraisers and organizing puppy yoga classes. And then COVID hits and you just got to go home back to your parents' house in the middle of nowhere in France. That was not fun. So I was looking for a way to go back out there to do something. And I found out that if you had like a sort of like a job offer or a volunteering opportunity, you could actually travel if you had like some paperwork. So I found a Greek shelter, a shelter in Greece close to Athens, and I applied and I went there with a friend. I was supposed to stay there for 5 weeks. I ended up staying in Greece for 4 years.
So you went Greek too?
Siga, yeah, a little bit.
Gosh, wow.
So I went to Greece and I went to that shelter, and that shelter was focused on rescuing cats. So it was only cats, but they didn't tackle the big problem because, so if you've ever been to Greece, which a lot of people have, you just see so many stray cats. And what the shelter did was just to take one cat, put it in a house, which was a really nice house, and then get it adopted abroad, which, okay, nice. But what about the other 1,000 cats? Like, you're not tackling the problem. And so this organization did not tackle TNR until I met Mary. And even after that, it was not their priority. The priority was just rescuing pet cats. And so I met Amber there. She was the shelter manager. And I was like, we should tackle the problem. We should start sterilizing cats. And that's how we started. So we started our own nonprofit called Saving Lives. It's been a bit more than 2 years now. And in just 2 years, we've sterilized more than 2,000 cats in a small town in Greece. And we've sterilized more than 2,000, but you can't see it. It's still the same. So it's a lot of work to be done. So much work. Amber is still there. We're still providing free sterilizations for all the communities. So we send money to the vets and we send them traps. So they have tomahawk traps and they keep sterilizing every day. And I've moved to Vancouver because for, you know, just like the work and the life, I just needed a bit of a more of a life because, as you said, I'm a baby. So I also still want to explore and still save animals. So now I'm focusing on Central America, and I'm actually going to Mexico in April to work with a big rescue in Playa del Carmen. And I'm going to sterilize dogs, which I've never done. I've always done cats. So I'm really excited to start also
really important
doing TNR with dogs.
That's wonderful. And Mary, how did you end up in Greece?
So you know Sterling, Trapping Davis. So he got invited there, and I was his manager at the time. So I helped organize the trip with the cat rescue that Alex was talking about.
Got it.
So that's how we met. So we were there. We were talking to government officials, having events with children. And I was really, though, I don't think I could live there. Seeing all those cats there, I would have 80 million cats in my house. Now, granted, some of them look really happy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not against stray cats. I am not against stray dogs. It was the same in Bali. They were strays, but they were happy. But we need to limit the casualties. We need to stop because, I mean, in Greece, especially, you know, the population, I mean, it's changing a little bit with the new generation, but the older generation consider them like rats. Like we would consider them rats, you know, like I run them over and who cares? Like, don't care. And it was hard to live in a country like that where people would question and they would, like, I had so many people stopping me in the streets with my traps and being like, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do that. I almost got sued because I was sterilizing cats. So it went, people were against it and it was really hard.
Because they just want them gone. They don't want them sterilized and released. They just want them gone. And that happens in the U.S. I remember being in the D.C. area. I trapped a feral mom
we had gotten her kittens and we trapped them first and then we trapped the mom and we took them all in and she was completely feral, could not be, you know, adopted out. And they were like, we can't do anything with her. And I thought the next step was euthanasia for her. And I was like, we did not trap her for you to kill her here.
No.
And they were like, no, thank God. They were like, so long as you will take her back where you found her, she can live. But a lot of people, they were concerned. We were all kind of like feeling each other out because they were concerned I wanted her gone. Like, I don't want her back in my neighborhood because so many people were like, they're peeing on my petunias. And I'm like, I care about petunias. I care about this cat. So they fixed her. They gave her her vaccines. They ear tipped her. And I took her back to my condo area. And she lived as long as I was there. I fed her every day. She was beautiful, wonderful. Her name was Emmy Lou. I still love her. I'm sure like she's had a million litters before that. Thankfully, we ended that for her. And her last litter found homes. So yeah, I completely agree. That's not just a Greek thing. Unfortunately, that does happen in the U.S. where it's like cats are gross. They pee. It smells. I want them gone. And it's like, no, we can find a happy medium, I think.
Yeah.
And that's yes, where you guys come in. So how can we support saving lives? And how can those that are interested in learning more about Whisker Media and the Whisker Report learn more about y'all?
So for saving lives, we're always looking for foster family or adopting families. So we have, you know, an unlimited supplies of cats. There's so many. And we're also looking actually for people who are traveling to Greece or to any other countries that need traps because we can't really get them. So if you're traveling, you would have nothing to do. Just add a tomahawk trap to your flight and then we'll pick them up at the airport. So if any trips are planned to Greece, that would be amazing. Or even to, yeah, Mexico. We also have that program there. So it would be incredible. And then for Whisker Media and Whisker Report, you can find us on all the podcast platforms, Apple Music and Spotify, and on Instagram, TikTok now, Facebook and Twitter, right, Mary?
Yes.
Oh, and LinkedIn as well.
You have Whisker Report and you have Whisker Media on Instagram separately. I did tag you today. So if anybody saw the like little promo I did, they were tagged in there and saving lives too. Yeah, I think you guys are amazing. I just want to propose a toast to you for being my guest.
You're incredible. We didn't talk about you enough.
No, I talk about me. This is all about you and telling your amazing stories. So here's to you. And here's to our executive producer, Mark Winter. Here's to you, Mark.
We love Mark.
We do love Mark. Mark, I don't know what you did to get him on your show, but he won't even be a guest on mine. So Mark, you owe me in 2025. So here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. And what do you guys say at the end of your show?
Bark loud and purr smart.
Thank you guys for joining us. And to learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. You'll also find the Whisker Report on petliferadio.com. And we'll see you next time, either on their show or on mine. Thank you guys for joining us. Have a great evening.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.